Lord in prayer and ask the Lord's blessing on the message tonight. Dear Heavenly Father, we commit this time to you now. Lord, I think we're all a little bit tired, especially those that may have gone to the nursing home and sang a lot. This energizes, help us to stay focused on your word, and Lord, teach us something tonight that draws us closer to you. And Lord, we just commit the service to you. Fill me with your Holy Spirit, we pray, and we want all the praise and the glory to always go to you. We do thank you for letting us go to the nursing home and pray that it was a blessing to them. We know it was a blessing to us, and I believe it was to them too. And Lord, we just thank you for this time of year. And Lord, help us to be faithful, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You probably have heard this before, but let me read. It's called The Dash. The Dash. And we're going to be talking about that in the lives of some of the characters in the Christmas story. It says, I read of a man who stood to speak at the funeral of a friend. He referred to the dates on the tombstone from the beginning to the end. He noticed first came the date of the birth and spoke the following date with tears. But he said what mattered most of all was the dash between the years. For that dash represents all the time that they spent life on earth. And now only those who love them know what that little line is worth. For it matters not how much we own, the cars, the house, the cash. What matters is how we live and love and how we spend our dash. So think about this long and hard. Are there things you'd like to change? For you never know how much time is left that can still be rearranged. If we could just slow down enough to consider what's true and real, and always try to understand the way other people feel. Be less quick to anger and show appreciation more and love the people in our lives like we've never loved before. If we treat each other with respect and more, often wear a smile, that is, remembering that this special dash might only last a little while. So when your eulogy is being read with your life's actions to rehash, would you be proud of the things they say about how you spent your dash? Amen. Of course, we'd add in there, of course, serving the Lord is part of that dash as well. I didn't read that poem to make you depressed as Christians, but to help you consider our dash. While examining in Scripture, we're going to be looking at Mary and Joseph, how they lived their dash, and at least they're part of the dash that was part of the birth of Jesus. Tonight, we're looking at God's people at Christmas, God's people. This morning was God's plan for Christmas. Tonight, God's people at Christmas. And you know, the Scripture kind of talks about the dash, but puts it a little bit differently. Psalm chapter 90, it's not our text, but Psalm chapter 90, verses 9 and 10. It says, for all our days are passed away in thy wrath. We spend our years as a tale that is told. The days of our years are 70. If by reason of strength they be 80, yet is their strength labor and sorrow, for it is soon cut off and we fly away. But the part that really Scripture is kind of like the idea of the dash, it says, we spend our year as a tale that is told. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7. Paul says, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. In a sense, he's saying, you know, I've fulfilled my dash. I did what God wanted me to do. You see, God has a plan for each one of us, and he had a plan for Mary and Joseph's lives, and they fulfilled it in a fantastic way. And we're going to look at that tonight. God's people at Christmas. We're just simply looking at Mary and Joseph at the birth of Christ, all right? If you would, if you have your Bibles, Luke chapter 1, we're going to begin looking at Mary. First of all, Mary. God's people at Christmas. Luke 1, we're going to look at verses 26 to 38. And what we can learn about Mary from these verses. It says, and in the sixth month, that's the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, the angel Gabriel was sent from God into a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph. Now you understand the espousal, right? The betrothal period at that point, it's different than what we have today. Well, we're engaged. It wasn't really like that. From what I gather, the nearest thing we know of it is like an engagement, but they were considered a married couple, but they didn't live together. They had not committed themselves physically together, but they were considered a married couple. So it was a little bit more serious than, well, I broke up with them. My fiance and me is no longer I mean, it was a serious deal, and they were to be committed to each other. It says, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou art highly favored. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not. Makes sense, right? When you see an angel, you're usually a bit afraid. Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. He shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? As far as relations. And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age. And this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. For with God nothing shall be impossible. And Mary said, Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. Now, if you look at how old Mary was when all of this happened to her, most would say that she was most likely a teenager. But God had a specific plan for her life. And I want to look at a few characteristics that really resulted in the ultimate characteristic or the ultimate answer from Mary. First of all, we see in verse 27, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. I see from that Mary had a pure lifestyle. Unlike what people thought about her when they saw her later being pregnant, they thought that she had been impure in her relations. But we know why that was. God is the one that put the baby in her womb, basically. Jesus, that is. But she was a pure lifestyle before God. Do you think that's a big deal? Absolutely. Purity in our life is an important quality, and Mary apparently had it. Next, if you look at, there's several things there that said about Mary. It says in verse 28, when the angel appears, Hail, thou art highly favored, or blessed, or graced by God. It says, the Lord is with thee. In other words, God has a plan for you. And it says, Blessed art thou among women. God is going to bless, or you are special in your walk with God. And then in verse 30, And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. I don't believe you find favor with God in a disobedient lifestyle. Now, we have extremes when it comes to Mary. We have some that worship Mary, pray to Mary, and think that she was a perpetual virgin after this, that she had other children, by the way. Just read your Bible, you'll see that. But I think sometimes we've let that rob Mary of her good qualities. It's kind of like, oh, we don't want to be careful. We don't want to worship Mary. We're not worshiping Mary, but when the angel says, "Thou that are highly favored," when the angel says, "The Lord is with thee," when the angel says, "Blessed art thou among women," when the angel says, "For thou hast found favor with God," I don't believe there's any way to slice it, any other way to look at it, than Mary had a close relationship with God. And for that, she should be commended. Okay, she is not divine, okay? She is not deity. We're not to worship her. But at the same time, we're not to ignore her faithfulness to God. She had a pure lifestyle. She was a virgin. She had a close walk or a relationship with God. Do y'all see that? Is that making sense? Thirdly, I see in verse 38, I mean, we could spend a lot of time looking at each one of these verses, but we're looking specifically at God's people at Christmas. What kind of people were they at this Christmas time, at this first Christmas? It says in verse 38, or leading up to it in particular, "And Mary said, Behold, the handmaid of the Lord." You know, handmaid is a pretty low on the totem pole. Can you see? Have you ever been around big feeling kind of people? You know, probably more than anything else, one thing that rubs me the wrong way is people that kind of feel like they're God's gift to this planet. And I've known some of them, and sometimes they stand behind what's called a pulpit, and they think that they're God's gift to Christianity. Now, that rubs me the wrong way, and really just anybody in general, someone that lost somebody, that just, you know, just big feeling, and they got all the answers, and they know everything. I guess you'd say know-it-alls kind of bother me, because none of us know it all. But that's kind of annoying to me, but I see the complete opposite of that in Mary. Now, granted, now you got to keep in mind, she's young. And you got to keep in mind that she was surprised by the angel. The angel had to say, "Now, fear not, Mary." You know, just calm down. Everything's good. But she gathers herself in her walk with her God, this pure lifestyle and this close relationship with God, and she has a sense of humility. Now, granted, when you see an angel, it's probably kind of hard to be big feeling, but I don't think this was a put on. I don't think this was something very temporary. She says, "Behold, the handmaid of the Lord." You know, sometimes in our Christian life, we need a good dose of humility, right? You know the reason a lot of people never get saved? Because they can't come up with humility. They have pride. "No way I'm going to be saved. No way I'm going to pray to God to save me and forgive me my sin. No way. That takes humility. And I'm not going to do that because I'm too proud to admit that I'm a sinner." I'm telling you, pride's going to send a lot of people to hell. But as we look at Mary, I see a humble spirit. I really do. Mary, God's people at Christmas. Mary, pure lifestyle, a close walk or relationship with God. I see humility. And lastly, I see surrender. Surrender. Do you imagine that Mary had in her mind what she thought her life would be like? Do you imagine? And the angel comes and kind of disrupts her whole world. And you got to keep in mind now, people talk. Right? And I figured there was some very self-righteous people that no longer spoke to this teenage girl named Mary because she had cheated on Joseph. And you know, Mary obviously was not slow. I think she caught on to this. But yet, she was able to say words of surrender. You know what that was? "Be it unto me according to thy word." Surrender. Surrender. I see qualities in Mary. I see a pure lifestyle. I see a close walk or relationship with God. I see humility. But ultimately, and I kind of think if it wasn't for these other qualities, the pure lifestyle, the close walk with God, and humility, I'm not sure she'd ever arrive at surrender. I mean, it's kind of like asking someone who's a hit and miss Christian, at church, reading their Bible, praying, and all those things, just kind of like whenever it's convenient for them, to say, guess what? I want you to surrender your whole plan for your life and give it to God. They're going, huh? You know, you crazy preacher. Get out of my face. I mean, really, I probably hear that, right? So it's not like surrender would have happened if she didn't have her other, if you excuse me, ducks in a row. If she wasn't walking and serious with God. Y'all see that? Most likely without a pure lifestyle, without a close walk with God, without humility, God would probably not have asked Mary to play such a big part or a role in her service to God as the mother of Jesus in the first Christmas story. Y'all agree with that? Let's look at the second character. We're only looking at two tonight. We're looking at Mary and Joseph, God's people at Christmas. Next is Joseph. If you have your Bibles, turn to Matthew chapter 1. Again, we're going to hit it not real thoroughly, but kind of in a highlight type of way. Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 to 25. Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 to 25. We're looking at the earthly father of Jesus. Now, I know ultimately God was his father. But as far as his earthly father, some would say it as kind of like his stepfather, the one who raised him in this world. Joseph, Matthew 1, 18 to 25. Now, this is really a fascinating story also. Notice it says, now people think that Joseph was a bit older. And they surmise this somewhat from the fact that Joseph is not mentioned at the crucifixion of Jesus. Now, Mary, the mother, is. But Joseph is not. So people suppose that Joseph was already dead by that point. So we suppose he was older. There may be other reasons that I'm not aware of that people suppose for him being older, but he probably was. Verse 18, now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, remember we talked about what that espousal looked like, before they came together, before they consummated the marriage, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately, or privately is what that's speaking of. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. Now, if you look at the character, the life of Joseph, there's several things that I believe you can pick out. Some are pretty obvious, and some take a little bit of digging or a little bit of thought. But Joseph, we're looking at how God used Joseph. It says in verse 19, right off the top, it says, then Joseph, her husband, being a just man. That means an innocent, a holy, a righteous man. This is a man who was rightly related to God and right in his daily walk with God. He was a righteous man. Right off the top, we see that. And then verse 19, we see that Joseph was also a gracious man. A gracious man. Notice it says, and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. Now, what could Joseph... Now you gotta... When you read these verses in black and white, sometimes it's kind of like, okay. But you gotta kind of think about this a little bit, okay? How would you feel about being betrothed to someone, even in our more informal society, even if you were just engaged, which was not the commitment that this really was in Bible time, you were just engaged to someone, but all of a sudden, the one you're engaged to is pregnant. You're like, whoa, I can't believe this. Can you imagine how hurt he was? And you know, hurt sometimes turns to anger, turns to revenge, but he didn't seek that. From what I gather, technically he could have had her killed. Could have, but what did he do? Now, he wasn't going to marry her, continue on with that, officially consummate the marriage and all that, but he was going to like, okay, we'll put her away privately. I don't know. I see in there a degree of grace, don't y'all? Being gracious. Now, you think about it. Again, he was a human being. Joseph was human. So was Mary. And they had emotions and they had feelings, but yet they chose, Joseph in particular, chose to be gracious toward Mary. And then I like this in verse 20. But while he thought on these things, I like a person who thinks about things. I call it a ponderer. I don't know, I guess I haven't been doing a whole lot of thinking lately, but I know in the past sometimes, at a time. But in the past, I've just been sitting there sometimes, and I guess Amy's like, what's wrong? Well, nothing, I'm thinking. Thinking. You see, we all need to sit down and think. I think Joseph was a ponderer. And of course, he was hurt, and he's thinking through this process and what he should do and all that. But I think that's a good, healthy thing. Aren't you glad that he didn't just fly off the handle and say, okay, here she is, kill her. I mean, the human side of us might say that, but I think he was a ponderer. So not only was he righteous, not only was he gracious, he was a ponderer. But I see in verse 24 the same quality that I saw in Mary's life. I see surrender. Verse 24. The angel said, basically, it's okay. Don't be afraid to take Mary as your wife. Because that's which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost in verse 20. And then it goes on and says it's fulfilling prophecy. Emmanuel will be his name. His name, verse 21, will be Jesus. We talked about that in the devotion at the nursing home. Jesus simply means the Lord will save. Yahweh is salvation, or the Lord is salvation. And that's the reason Jesus came, to offer salvation. Emmanuel means, it gives the interpretation right there, God with us. So God himself, in the form of the Son of God, Jesus, came and put on human flesh and lived among us. But the point I want to point out, verse 24, then Joseph being raised from sleep, there's a three-letter word in English that means a lot. Did. As the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took, there's a four-letter word right there, a word of obedience there, unto him his wife. And knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son. And he called, wow, it's getting kind of, that's a six-letter word of obedience, called his name Jesus. You know, it's typical, from what I understand, at that point, to name the child after dad. And we do that some, right? Our firstborn, Ryan, his middle name is Ryan Robert. That's my dad's first name and my middle name. So we just kind of kept that going. And Jason is named for the other pawpaw, Jason Edward. And Joe's name is actually Edward Joe, right? Make sure I got that right. So you name it after relatives, but the angel said, call him Jesus. You know, the Lord saves. So Yahweh saver is salvation. And it's like, that's kind of out of the box. But he did it. Again, I see in the life of Joseph righteousness, graciousness. He was a ponderer. And I believe without qualities such as that, he would not have been asked to surrender, nor would he have said, or done, more importantly, what he was asked to do. But that verse very clearly says that he did it. as the angel said. He took unto him his wife, and he called his name Jesus. Most likely, again, without being righteous, without having a gracious spirit, without being a ponderer, God would probably not have asked Joseph to play such a big part or a role in his service to God in the first Christmas story. So, you say, what's the application, preacher? You say, well, you know, I'm not part of the first Christmas story. No, you're right. You're a little late to be part of the first Christmas story. We're about 2,000 years too late for that. But you know, God has a special and a specific role for you, just like he had for Mary at that first Christmas and with Joseph at that first Christmas. Both of these two characters we looked at did a great job of fulfilling that dash, which is called their life. I believe it's important that you and I also fulfill what God has called us to do in life. Now, again, we won't be part of the Christmas story, but it's hard to get Christians to really see this. It really is like, well, I'm not a preacher. Well, that's okay. You don't have to be a preacher. God has a plan and a purpose for your life in that dash. And you determine on how you're going to fulfill that will of God in your heart and life. Well, I'm not a missionary. Well, that's okay. God will use you and call you and have you do things for him. Can you imagine if Mary had said, nope, not going to do it? Wouldn't look too good, would it? Especially wouldn't it look too good before God. And God knew all this. God knows everything, okay? But I do still think that that maintained the free choice of Mary. And Joseph could have said, no way on God's green earth am I going to marry her. Because I don't care what you say, I think she cheated on me, so I'm not going to do it. But no, he had faith and trust. Both of them surrendered. Surrendered to what God called them to do. And what I see in a lot of Christian lives is a lot of times anything but surrender. Anything but surrender. I had a friend, actually one of my best friends in Chattanooga when I worked down there. He developed a brain tumor. And he's with the Lord now. He was a little older than me, but real nice guy. I worked with him a lot. And after he got this brain tumor, as best I remember, if I remember the story right, he shared with me, it was about the time I was leaving Chattanooga to come pastor a church in Middleburn. He shared with me that he felt God had called him into the ministry years ago, but he said no. Now, again, God doesn't call everybody into ministry, but I believe God calls people into ministry, many people in ministry, that are like, no, 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 no. Can I tell you that's the wrong answer? Number one, when you were saved, if you've trusted Jesus as your Savior, you turned over the title of your life to God. Seriously, you did. Because it tells us in Scripture that you're not your own. You've been bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. They belong to God. So our responsibility is not to say, no, 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 no way. Our responsibility is to surrender to whatever God calls us to do. And if that's missions in the far outpost in Africa somewhere, by golly, you do it and you'll live the most fulfilled and blessed life you ever thought possible. Or whether it's to be a preacher. Yeah, there's challenges to being a pastor, absolutely. You try to make everybody happy and God at the same time. I choose God and then, but to make him happy, that's who I report to. He's my boss. But it may not be easy, but I guarantee you, if you're in the center of God's will and surrender, you'll be the happiest. You see what happens? We want to get a hold of our life. And again, I think Joseph had plans for his life. It didn't include marrying a wife who cheated on him. I mean, that's the way the world looked at it. She didn't, but that's the way the world looks at it, and the talk behind, I mean, and it's like, can you believe that he married her? Oh. bogged down in that too. But he was willing to surrender. Same with Mary. So if God calls you to do something, don't think you got the answer to say, and the right even to say, no, 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 no. You surrender. Right? Now we read these stories. We talk about Joseph. Yes. We're patting him on the back a little bit tonight. We're patting Mary on the back a little bit, according to Scripture. You know what? I want God to pat me on the back someday. Seriously. And again, don't think that, you know, you can live your own life, do whatever you want to do, and boom, God's going to show up, use you in a big way. Probably not going to happen that way. We have to dot our I's, cross our T's, get our ducks in a row, with God's help, not on our own. Does that make sense? Again, I don't think Mary and Joseph would have been called to these pivotal roles in the birth of Christ if they'd been doing their own thing. So some people are like, why hasn't God called me to do anything? Well, look at your life. I mean, get right. Get serious. Get faithful. Get in a close walk with God. Again, Mary was pure. She had a close relationship with God. She lived a life of humility. And ultimately, and as a result of that, she surrendered her life to God's plan for her life. You know, as a reward, God used Mary in a big way. Would you agree? Joseph was right with God, right in his daily life with God. He showed grace to others. He was a ponderer, and ultimately, and as a result of that, God allowed him to surrender his life and called him to do something big in God's picture. And as a reward, God used Joseph in a big way. It may appear sometimes that surrender is an easy choice. Yeah. It really is when you know God close, because you can trust him. But looking at it from the human perspective, it's probably going to cost you something. I put it this way. Surrender is blessed by God, but it's not usually easy. Surrender is blessed by God, but it's not usually easy. Because it's probably going to cost you something. I'm almost finished. If you'd been Mary, would you have surrendered to God's will for your life? Think about that. If you'd been Mary, would you have surrendered to God's will for your life? If you were Joseph, would you have surrendered to God's will for your life? I think tonight it's perfectly fine that you're not Mary, and it's perfectly fine that you're not Joseph, and that you're not part of the original Christmas story, but still God has a plan and a purpose just for you. Just for you. What will you say? I guess, first of all, are you pure? Are you pure before God? Are you in a close relationship with God? You know, you're as close to God as you want to be. So, no, I'm not very close to God. Well, it's not God's problem or fault. Are you humble before God? That's a pretty big element. Are you righteous before God? Are you gracious before God? Are you even a pondering person before God? If so, ultimately, I believe God will call you to do something for him. But will you surrender control of your life to him? Again, let me say, God has a plan for you. God has a plan for you. And it's important that you and I get a hold of that plan. You know, my little pea brain can run 100 miles an hour sometimes thinking about why I shouldn't or couldn't or ought not do what God wants me to do. But you know, you need to shut that little pea brain off. I'm not being mean to you. I'm just saying my pea brain's probably smaller than yours. But we need to shut that pea brain off and say, God, I trust you. So if you would bow your head and close your eyes for just a moment. Let me ask you, are you even in a position right now spiritually? Let me ask you, every head bowed and every eye closed, are you in a position spiritually for God to use you? Are you even in a position spiritually before God where God can use you? If not, you'd have to say, no, 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 I'm not faithful, I'm not committed, I don't have a close walk with God. however you want to phrase it, would you take just a moment and ask God to forgive you and to help you be what He wants you to be so He can use you? Secondly, before God, you may say, "Yeah, I'm trying to walk with God. I'm close to Him in my walk. I'm trying to be faithful. Not perfect, but I'm trying." Is He calling you to do something right now for Him? It might be as simple as talking to your neighbor about the Lord or a family member over the Christmas holidays to be bold for the Lord, to talk about the Lord and ask some of family members whether they know Jesus as Savior. It may be calling to start a new ministry here at the church. It could be calling you to be a missionary or a preacher before the Lord. Is God calling you to do something? What is your answer? Now, Joseph did what God asked him to do, and Mary did as well, and even gave some good words. You know, here, whatever, here it is. I'll do whatever you want me to do. Will you do whatever God wants you to do? Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your blessings. We thank You, Lord, that absolutely we're not and never will be part of the first Christmas story. But You used Mary and Joseph in a big way, and they set forth a good example of being what they needed to be before they were even asked to surrender, and then following up that obedience with the full surrender of their life to You, whatever, however You wanted to use them. Lord, I pray that we'll keep that before us. And Lord, may we not say, "Oh yeah, about 20 years ago I surrendered to God and that's the last time I ever did it." I'd encourage you. That's something, in my opinion, that we need to continue to have before us, that surrender, because God might still have some big plans for us, whatever it is. Lord, help us to surrender to that big plan or small plan or whatever plan, as long as it's Your plan. Help us to surrender. And Lord, if we're not even in a position where we can be used by You, help us to make sure, Lord, it's our choice. Help us to get right with You, rededicate our heart and life to You, be all that You want us to be. And Lord, we do ask You to use us however You want us to use us. Lord, if there's anyone here tonight that's not saved, I can tell them God's plan for their life is for them to be saved right now. I pray, Lord, if there's anyone here, they may come forward and say, "Preacher, I want to be saved." Anyone listening in by Facebook, don't know Jesus as Savior, I pray that they may call out to You in sincere prayer from their heart, really mean it, and tell You that they believe Jesus really was Your Son that died on the cross for them to pay their sin debt and resurrected back to life. And Lord, that they'll call out to You and ask You to forgive them of their sins. And Lord, confess Jesus before You as their Savior. And Lord, they can be saved wherever they might be tonight by calling in sincere faith and believing in Jesus and asking for forgiveness, confessing Jesus. Lord, take control of the invitation, whatever the need might be tonight. Lord, there's a variety of needs in our midst. I pray that You'll help us to listen to You and obey in Jesus' name.